Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the 20th day of Adar Rishon, Tovshin Pebes. Masechta Peyo, Perek Shvi, Mishnah Ches, last Mishnah of Perek Shvi. Hamakdish Kamoi, if a person donates his vineyard to Hekdesh, to the temple. Ad Shalom Noidu Bohai Lelos, if he did this before the Alelos became visible or even recognizable, the grapes were too small to tell what are the alelos. So therefore there were no entitlements yet for the poor. Then ein ha alelos lanim, then the alelos will not belong to the poor even when it becomes visible and you can tell which ones are the infant branches which normally belong to the poor. And that's because it's hektish, and hektish is exempt from giving gifts to the poor. However, if a person donates his karam, his vineyard, to the Hekdesh after the Elolos have already appeared, and you can tell already what the Elolos are, then, says the Mishnah, the Elolos will belong to the poor, and the owner of the karam cannot be makdish the Elolos. They're not his. They're not his to give away. They belong already to the poor. So the poor already have their claim before Hekdesh got it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, even though the poor can still claim their elolos, but until they do, whilst from the time the person was makdish it, any increase in growth in the size of those elolos, improvement in value, has to be paid for to hektish. Yitnu schar gilulun hektish. The poor will have to give a bit of an amount of money equal to the value of the improvement of the lelos whilst they were growing in this field of hektish. The Tanakama, however, holds, no, you don't. The poor do not have to give any schar to hektish for any improvement in the growth, because the vineyard was already chayiv in lelos. The entitlements of the poor were already there, even before he's makdish it. The halacha is indeed like the Tanakama, that the aniyim, the poor, do not have to contribute anything to any improvement of their size or value after the man has makdish his field. Says the Mishnah further, Eizohi shikha ba'oris. What's considered shikha with an oris? An oris is where you have a row of vines that's stretched over some pillars, and you've got the branches forming a canopy, like a sukkah, on top. When do we consider, if a person forgot a cluster there among the vines, when is it considered shikha? Says the Mishnah, Kol she'ena yochel lifshed es yada v'litla. As long as he cannot stretch his hand, as soon as he can't stretch his hand and get it, then we say, then it's shikha. It's called forgetting. So if he's passed a vine, and then he just remembered, oh, and if he can still stretch his hand out and get it, it's not considered shikha. But if he's gone past the vine and he wouldn't even be able to stretch his hand to get it, then we apply the pasuk, lo soshuv lekachta, do not come back to get it. But if he can, even though if he's past the vine, it's not called shikha. And what's the reason for this? I mean, he forgot it. Why doesn't it belong to the poor? Why isn't it shikha? Yerushalmi explains the reason is because darkoi livchai. It's the derech of people who had these canopies, these grapes growing like that, the vines growing like that, that they would check it all to see they haven't forgotten anything. And therefore, as long as he can still stretch his hand back and get it, it's not considered shikha. That's the vines that are growing on a canopy fashion. Uvaraglia is but vines that are growing on the ground at the feet, literally. So they're growing on the ground where people can walk. Misha yavaremeno. Their shikha is more strict. As soon as he has passed the vine, gefen, then the din of shikha already applies. Why? Because the whole vine is considered like a row on its own, and once he's passed it, even if he can stretch his hand out and get it, it'll be shikha. And we will apply the verse, Le soshav lekachta, do not come back to take it. It must be left for the poor. Now, it's interesting, some point out that the Tana here learns the laws of shikha about an oris, about this canopy, and not earlier on when we were doing all the laws of shikha, and some explain because here we have two dinim that are quite unusual. They're not so prevalent. One is to have a vineyard that's all of aleilos, which is quite an unusual halacha, as we had the previous Mishnah. And also we have this case of a one who's makdish his karim, And because of that, we put the two together, these halachas, because they are eino motzo, they're unusual cases, and that's why we kept them to here. Perek Shmini, Mishnah Aleph. The Pasuk says, La'oniv ala ger tazavosam, you shall leave them for the poor and for the ger. As long as the poor is still looking for it and claiming it, then it must be left. Once they've stopped looking for it, once even the poor are not interested in it anymore, then it's hafkir for anybody. Anybody can take it. And that's because once the poor have given up hope or just give up on a field, then it becomes hafkir, and then rich or poor, owner or non-owner, can come and get it. Our mission is coming now to explain, or at least the landowner can get it. Our mission is now coming to explain what are the shirim, what's considered the point at which the anim are given up. From what point do we say that every person is allowed to take the lekat, and that apply lekat means what the anim have left, what the landowner has dropped out of his hand as he's picking. The same thing applies to shikhan peya as well, the same question according to some. In fact, some gurses actually have that. From when is everyone allowed to take lekat shikhan peya? Says the Mishnah, Misha yelcho hana moshes. Once the feeble have already gone through, if they've already gone through, the poor people who are old and frail and going at using a walking stick, they go much slower. If they've been through it already, that whatever's left is hafka. Basically, that's the poor have given up now of getting anything more. Beferd uvo eleilos, what's considered the time that it's permitted the landowner can keep the ferret? When do we say the poor have given up? Misha yelchu hanim bakerim voyovoyo. Once the poor have been through the field once and then gone twice, a second time, once they've done the second time, made the rounds through the vineyard, then they're not going to come back for it. They're basically giving up on this field. Whatever's left there is hafka, and the owner can keep it. Uva zesim, what about the gifts of the poor for olive trees? Mishateri revishna, once the second rains have come down. There were three times of rains. They collect, and usually they come down in three parts of the year. There's the first, then the middle, and then there's the last one. And here Mishnah mentions the Zman of the Revi'a Beninus, the average, it's called the average time. Now, once, our Mishnah was telling us that once the rains have come down in this Revi'a Beninus, in this average time, and there's machlokes as to what day of Cheshvan it is, but Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, but once that time has come, whatever that is, according to each opinion, once that average time of the rains has come, the poor will not come anymore to collect what's left over in the olive trees. And therefore, whatever's left is hafke mutter for anybody. The Yishalmi explains that, why didn't we say the same expression as we did by the parrot and the lelos, namely, by the grapevines, to say, once they've been through the vines, or maybe once the feeble have gone through the vines. Why don't we say that? Why is it a different shear? And the reason it explains is because when it comes to peret and alelos, these grapes, they are so liked by the poor, the feeble and the old. Therefore, they come early when it's still time. They come and get them. Olives, however, they don't go to collect at all because it's colder. It's winter time then. And because of that, we couldn't use the shear for olive trees as to once the nemoshes, the feeble, have been through it. We couldn't say that because they don't go to collect that at all when it comes to olive trees. And therefore, we use the shear of the second rains. When the second rains, or the rains of the, depending on which opinion, the middle rain time, then we say that it's mutter now for everybody to come and collect it. The poor have now given up on the field. Amar Rabbi Huda, how can you say that once the second period of rains has come, people can now take anything on the olive trees, but some landowners only begin to harvest their olives after the second lot of rains, and by using that time, what we're doing is we're actually we're saying that, and now it's free for all at the time when the poor are now only starting to collect their matanas. Surely not, says Rabbi Yehuda. Ela bat kedei shehei ha'oni yotzei v'lo yehei mevi barba asaras. When do we say that the that the poor give up in a field is once enough time for the Oni to go out, collect the gifts of the poor, Matnas Anim, of the olives, and only come back with enough olives that you could make oil to sell for Arbe Zoras. If you could only do that, or enough olives that would only fetch for a Zoras. What is an Isser? An Isser is a coin that's 1/24th of a dinar. It's actually half a pundion, because there are four Asaras, four Isaras make up two pundionim. And we use that shear because that's the amount. Tubinionim is the shear that an Oni, a poor man, could buy food for four meals. Why four meals? We talk about the two meals, two sudos that he has, and the two sudos for his wife. Rabbi Yehuda holds that once the Oni has no chance, once the poor has no chance to bring home enough olives, even for that amount, even that smaller shear of Arbe Saris, right? I.e., in the shear Muslims of four meals, then he can't go out and collect. But once they won't go out and collect anymore, and that's why anything left after that is hefker and mutter for anybody to collect. The halacha, however, is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and the halacha is like we said in the Tanakhama, and that is once the second lot of rains have come down, then it's free for all. Everybody can take it because the aniim have given up on it then.